Amen. I want to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22, and if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to talk to you today about an unfailing faith. Man. It's been many times when people's faith has failed or grown weak because of various things that have happened in their life, but we can have an unfailing faith. And you say, well, Bible people didn't have that. Yes, they did. They're just as human as you are today. Luke chapter 22, we'll begin reading with verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, meaning Simon Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you or desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times, or deny three times that you know me. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, your Holy Spirit that's here. And I pray, God, you continue to work in our hearts and our lives today as we minister the word. Oh, God, we just pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest upon your servant, upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. An unfailing faith. At the conclusion of my message today, I want to give an opportunity to pray. Amen. An altar call, altar service. Amen. We want to get right. We want to meet God here today. Praise the Lord. And not just go on. God has arranged this day for you to meet you here, to encourage you, to strengthen you in the faith. We'll pray together. Praise the Lord. Amen. The truth is, our faith will be challenged. And I'm reminded of that in Noah's day. I realize it's a long ways from Luke, back to Genesis. But Noah had faith. However, he chose to believe God that judgment was coming. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And you look at Noah and you say, well, you know, there's nobody but me going through this. You think about Noah. You're talking about the whole earth, all the population of the earth, and only eight people, his family, responded to his message, and eight were saved, and the rest drowned in the flood. But he chose to believe God that judgment was coming, and so his faith was unfailing. I'm sure people made fun of him and say, hey, old man, what are you doing building that big boat out here? This hadn't even rained. And Mark Skurdo said it's not going to rain for a long time. Don't think it was Mark Skurdo. But he believed that judgment was coming. God had spoken to him and he believed it. And so he had an unfailing faith. And because his faith was unfailing and he responded to what God said, then his family was saved. And he became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Praise the Lord. But as we look at our scripture here today, we see, first of all, the enemy has a desire for you. He had one for Peter. The Lord says to him, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you or ask for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus is saying to you, Satan has desired to let sin control you and eventually destroy you, because that's the plan of the evil kingdom and for all people. God's plan for the entire population of earth is to be saved and to call on him. And says, Satan has desired to you that he may sift you as wheat. It may be Satan has marked you out for destruction, to challenge your faith, to destroy your faith, to cause you to forget your salvation and deliverance from sin. Who can forget what it means to have your sins forgiven and for you to have peace in your heart that if I die today, I'm going to heaven? My friend, only God can give that, and he does give that. Praise the Lord. Okay. There are some people in Jude's day, the Lord's half-brother, in the book of Jude. There were people then. Jude 3, Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you, and that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered for all the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so there were people in the day and time that Jude wrote this that were really marked out, or they were people that had been marked out by Satan for the destruction of the people of faith that Jude was speaking to here. And so it may be that Satan has marked you out for destruction, but God has put His Holy Spirit here. Amen. And the Bible says that we are Christians, believers, are sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. The seal there means God has put His mark upon you and says, this one belongs to me. And so the Holy Spirit indwells you, and the Holy Spirit says, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Okay? What are some things, let me ask you this, that would cause you to question your faith? A lot of people lose their faith because they didn't get from God what they asked for. If God doesn't give you something you ask for, He doesn't see that you need it. And I got one amen. Thank you, brother. And so there's many reasons why that people's faith wavers. And the Bible says here, you're sifted as wheat. We are tested to see if our faith is real when tried. Okay? To sift means to be blown about. I remember this. My father was a farmer. And he would take a shovel full of seed and throw it up in the air. And the wind was there and it would blow away the chaff or all that wasn't any good. And only the good seed would fall back into where he was doing his work. Okay? And so Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, Jesus says. He's desired to try to take everything you have, but he's not able. And we are sifted, we are tested to see if our faith is real when tried. And I can tell you, Satan and evil have no good intentions for you. The most worthless person, the most sinful person you can imagine upon this earth, the devil hates them just as much as he hates you. And he doesn't love you, he hates you. But God loves you. That's the good news. Praise the Lord. And so Satan and evil have no good intentions for you. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So the enemy's desire is to make your faith in Christ fail. He wants you to fail. He's not for you. He's against you. He wants to make every circumstance that arise as a challenge to your faith and say, see, it's not worth living for God for. God didn't answer this prayer. God didn't answer that prayer. He doesn't care about you. That's Satan talking. And yet, I want to tell you something. God does care. Your love, He loves you forever. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures forever and ever. You belong to Him. You belong to Christ. And so the devil is just telling you lies. That's all he knows how to do because he's the father of lies. And like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now the lion is the king of beasts in the natural world. And everything and everybody fears the lion for what they can do. Sharp claws. Amen. Teeth. They can completely devour their prey. And so the enemy of your soul wants to devour you. The enemy of your soul is not just excited about you sinning one time or making a failure or a mistake, whatever you want to call it. The Bible calls it sin. But he wants to completely devour you like a roaring lion. And I heard that this restaurant were some professional wrestlers. I don't look at them. I don't see them. And well, if you're around when you can, you have to look twice to see it all. But they went into this restaurant and they ordered the whole menu for each one. They were hungry and they devoured the whole thing. When I go to a restaurant, I don't order the whole menu. Because if I did, I'd have to have all y'all to help me devour it. But the enemy of your soul is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, completely to destroy you. Lions are carnivores. They feed on meat. And they are not satisfied until they have killed whatever their prey is and then completely devour it. But you see, real faith comes to us by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And as we hear God's Word, it produces faith in us that is not lost to the pull of evil. Amen. Where this gospel has been preached, people have been saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. The signs of God are still in effect today. And wherever this gospel is preached, people are being saved, born again. People that you wouldn't think are able to be saved. Even in the Muslim world, we have missionaries that are going out, and it's told us that they tell us that many times Jesus appears to them and shows himself that he is powerful and that Allah is not really a God at all. But the only one true God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing what God says produces faith in you. And the enemy wants you to lose your faith. Listen to me, youth, young people today. Disappointments, failure, sadness, sorrow, my friend, all of those can rule your life if you let it. But it's never God's plan for those things to rule your life. God wants to rule your life. God wants to give you peace, wants to give you hope, and that only comes with a personal relationship with Christ. And if that's not there, God wants you to repent and say, God, have mercy upon me, and God will restore, renew, and give you hope and help and happiness in this life, regardless of what you may have lost. And disappointment a lot is difficult a lot of times. Have I ever been disappointed? Yes. So have you. I'm disappointed many times. And you're disappointed if you don't have the money to pay for something. Or you're disappointed because somebody said something about you that you didn't like. And even though they didn't mean it, you're still disappointed about it. A few years ago, I preached a funeral of a young man that I grew up with. He was in church every Sunday with me and another guy. And we would share, shouldn't have, but during service we would share. Matter of fact, one time the preacher told us to be quiet. Okay? But his name was David. And David, and when he reached an adolescent age, or young high school age whatsoever, teenager, he decided he wanted to try a few things. And he had been preached to. He knew evil was evil. He knew what was sin. It was called by name in our church. The preacher would call it out and call sin by its name. Our preacher wasn't afraid he's going to offend somebody. He just said it like it was. But David thought it would be neat just to experiment and to explore a little bit and to see what was really like to smoke a joint. Anyway, is that far enough? You know, pot. You know, we used to mow grass. We didn't smoke it. But eventually David experimented a little bit, and then he experimented a little bit more. And after a while, he couldn't get loose from what he was experimenting with. It was no longer an experiment. It was a bondage. It kept him, and it kept him most of his life. Until the last 3 months of his life. And I hadn't seen him in many years. Hadn't seen David in many years. But I got a phone call one day, and it was his mother. And she said, David has passed away. But in the last 3 months, he quit smoking, he quit drinking, he quit the drugs, he quit everything and got right with God. And all he did was pray and read his Bible the last 3 months of his life. And he was ready to meet God. I want to tell you something, friend. It never pays to experiment with sin. The devil hates you. He wants to keep you in bondage, and he wants to take you to an eternal hell. But God wants to take you to an eternal heaven. But the enemy promotes compromise in people's lives little by little, and eventually to turn a person away from God. Amen. And people today, the enemy may say, well, you know, it won't hurt you to gamble just once. It won't hurt you to cheat on your companion just once. It will hurt, I bet you. Or to play the lottery just once. But what was given into little by little becomes something that's a habit and a lifestyle to a sinful bondage that only God can break. And my friend, don't experiment with whatever's out there. Amen. You just, if God says it's sin, just leave it alone. You don't want to experience that. Yes, God delivers sinners. God sets people free. And all people today are in this congregation that are saved by the blood of Jesus have been delivered from sin of some kind. Amen. So we know what it is. Praise the Lord. But I grew up with a couple other guys. Both of them were preacher's kids. And they said, you know, and I was a deacon's kid. And there's been the saying that the preacher's kid was okay till he started running around with the deacon's kid. I don't know how true that is, but anyway. These two guys, both of them preacher's kids, one an AG preacher, the other one is a Baptist preacher, and their kids, and their names was G and S. Okay, the G stands for a name, the S stands for a name. And they got together and decided just what it would be like just to get drunk, just to get wasted. And they weren't in a habit of doing this. They just wanted to see what it was like. And so they got together and they bought all the beer that they thought they could drink. And they got foolishly drunk and out of control. And they just wanted to see what it would be like. And I talked to Mr. G the next day or two. And he said, I never knew that alcohol could do that to you. Said, I woke up with a headache. Said, I had a terrible day. I was sick all day. I threw up. I said, I did all this kind of stuff. And he said, after a while, I decided that drinking just wasn't worth it. But if they had both listened to Papa before, they would have known that. But the enemy's real desire is to destroy God, the work that God has begun in you. And had the devil marked out Peter for destruction? Yes. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. God, the devil has marked Peter out, said, I'm going to destroy Peter. I'm going to destroy his testimony. I'm going to destroy his preaching, his everyday living, his message that he's going to preach at Pentecost after the Spirit's poured out. Said, I want to destroy Peter because I know he'll be effective for the kingdom of God. And Satan says, I'm the kingdom of darkness and I want him to be dark. But we know they had Peter marked out for destruction. And Peter here bragged and says, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death with you. And Jesus said, Peter, the rooster won't crow until you deny that you even know who I am 3 times. And that's the way it was. When it came right down to it, and Jesus was to be crucified and be killed, he knew that if he agreed with Jesus, he would be one of them. And he would be crucified and killed with Jesus. And we know that he lied and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who Jesus is. And he had a cuss fit while he was at it. If you read the scriptures pretty carefully, it doesn't say that. Didn't say a fit, but anyway, he cursed. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'm sure Peter's saying, no way, Lord. Jesus said, yes, you will. Your faith is going to fail when you're really put to the test. And it did. And he denied Jesus 3 times. We knew later on, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, they met on the sea, and Jesus had food for them there, and they came, and through a process of repentance and recognition of his sin, God restored Peter completely to his apostleship and to his place in the kingdom, to where he would preach the most powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls would be led to the Lord. That's what God can do. Praise the Lord. And so the enemy of your soul, he wants to destroy this generation. He desires a generation that knows nothing of God, nothing of Christ's work on the cross, nothing of redemption, nothing of deliverance from sin, nothing from death and hell. The devil does not want a generation to know any of this. He wants a generation that's completely absent of God, the Bible, and truth. That's what the enemy desires. And God has prayed for you and I that our faith fail not. Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith doesn't fail. In the book of Proverbs, let's just look at the flood today upon our generation, the flood of sin. There's a flood of sinful theology out there. One of the theological things is called universalism. That means everybody, regardless of religion, regardless of belief, or system of beliefs, is going to heaven. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't come through Muhammad. You can't come through any other made-up God that people say. You got to come through Christ. So there's a flood of sinful theology out there. There is acceptance today, sadly, even in the church world, of all sinful practices as if God doesn't recognize sin anymore. Let me tell you something. God loves the sinner, but God hates the sin, and God hates what sin does to His creation. There's a flood today against God, the Bible, and Christian values, against decency in public, or no conduct labeled as sinful or unacceptable. Anything goes. That's what the world wants. That's what the devil wants. And no sense of right and wrong. But I want to tell you, the Bible spells out right and wrong. And God graciously gives us redemption and deliverance and even forgiveness where we failed. And if you've lost your faith, God can restore your faith and make it brand new. And God can keep you and help you. He can lift you up and give you strength where you're weak. Amen. And we're all weak. We need God. But His strength is made perfect in our weakness. God has this thing called grace. He is chosen to use favor with you to bring you back. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 11, it gives us several things about a generation there. He says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. We are in a society that has completely rebellion against authority, caught killing, all this kind of stuff, or doesn't believe we need law enforcement. I would hate to live in Quitman without law enforcement. I'd hate to live anywhere without law enforcement. If you got problems with that, read Romans 13. It'll help you. But Proverbs says there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. And if we were to go to Matthew chapter 24, we'd find that God speaks to the people and tells of the end times and says, like it was in the end times, he says, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. You know, Noah, he preached to eight, and eight were saved, and that's it. He was a preacher of righteousness. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man, for in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were carrying on a normal way of life. They're saying, next, you know, in 2 days, my son and his fiance are going to get married. You know, in 3 days, we're going to go here. We're going to go there on our honeymoon. And we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to buy. We're going to sell. We're going to trade. We're going to go as is normal. We don't believe what Jesus is saying. But Jesus says here, as it was in the days of Noah, just an ordinary day, and there had been preaching of righteousness and preaching of Noah that the rain is going to start falling here and it's not going to quit for 40 days and 40 nights. And the fountains of the deep, the water that's under the earth, is going to come up to the surface and rain's going to start flowing, and there's not going to be a mountain or a hill anywhere that's going to be seen that's not covered with water. And I'm sure the people of the world said, you know, that you ever listen to that goofy preacher? Does he really think that's going to happen? But one day, God told Noah, said, go into the ark, and he and his family did. God shut the door, and the drops of rain started falling. And they didn't quit. It wasn't a shower. Amen. It wasn't just cloudy skies. it began to pour down upon the earth until there was not one living thing left except Noah and the animals in the ark with him. And Jesus said, like the days of Noah, there was a flood that destroyed the earth. And today, no doubt, there will be a flood of sin that will one day bring the earth to judgment. God's not going to put up with this forever. I hear things that are happening that it's unbelievable to me. It's not unbelievable, but it does happen. That somebody would drive by and shoot a little kid. That somebody would drive by and shoot anybody. And people say, well, it's the gun's fault. No, it's not the gun's fault. It's the carnal, sinful nature of mankind. That's whose fault it is. And we can blame so many things on everything if we want to, but man, my friend, God expects us to take responsibility for our own actions. And so, the days of Noah were, and the flood of sin one day will fill this earth. However, the believer must stand against sin and the flood of evil. God promises to protect the believer. Amen. I believe that God is going to protect you. He's going to keep you. I do not know how bad it will get before the rapture of the church. I don't know. I can't predict that. I can't predict the day that Jesus will come. But I mean, my friend, the Bible tells, if it tells us anything, it says, be ready, for I'm coming in an hour when you do not expect me. I'm ready to meet God. I want to be ready to meet God now. It's not that we go around thinking Jesus may come today. Yes, he may come today. He may come before I get through preaching. I pray he does, and you do too. Anyway, I'm glad that God is able to help us to be prepared for the day that's coming. Judgment's coming up on this earth, and when it does come, it'll be sudden. It'll completely annihilate, really, the earth. The fires of God's judgment will destroy everything that has a hint of sin in it. So our faith must not fail. Of course, I believe before all this happens, we believe there's going to be a rapture of the church where God's going to take his children home. Last of all, we'll see that Jesus says to Peter here, he says, yes, Satan has desired you, Peter, to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus says, I have prayed for you, Peter. You know, we take that term so common a lot of times. I'll pray for you. Let me tell you something. The Son of God said, I'm praying for you, Peter. I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't want you to be taken away. I don't want you to be carried off with every wind of doctrine. I don't want you to be pushed out where you're not doing right anymore, not living right anymore. Jesus had spent 3 years with the disciples. He's saying, I don't want that to go to nothing. I want you to live for me. You got to promote this. You got to be a part of this church that's going to go on. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That you would have an unfailing faith, Peter. That nothing would keep you from believing that I did what I did. That I bore the cross. That I shed my blood to atone for your sins. I don't want anything to keep you from believing that. And our high priest, who is Christ, and Christ fulfilled the Old Testament priesthood. He was the fulfillment of it. There's no other priest today. There's no Catholic priest. There's no any kind of priest that can take the place of Jesus. Because he's the one mediator between God and man. He stands between God and man. He's one. And there's none other but Christ. And so if Jesus has prayed for him that his faith fail not, and when you have returned, repented, strengthen your brethren. Amen. You see, our high priest is Christ. He intercedes for us. And Christ is familiar with all the things that you go through. And he says, well, no, nobody's ever gone through what I've gone through. Oh, yes, they have. God's walked thousands of people through what you're going through. Amen. But it tells us that we have a compassionate high priest, who is Christ. In Hebrews 4, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You see, he walked in humanity. He knows what we're tempted with. He knows where we're weak and he knows where we're strong. And he's there to help. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, but yet without sin. You can say, well, Jesus never was tempted like I am. Oh, yes, he is. He has been. Everything you've tempted, difference is he didn't yield to any temptation, which we all yielded at least one and need salvation. And he says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For you and I need God's mercy. Hallelujah. And the Bible says his mercy is everlasting. Praise the Lord. I have prayed for you, Peter, that you do not fail. You see, God has no desire for your faith to fail. God wants you to stay with it until he comes, to keep believing him. His desire is for you to be victorious, to be an overcomer, and to enter eternity with him. You realize today, friend, God has not planned for you to be a failure. God has not planned for you to fall somewhere along the line. God has not planned for you to become an unbeliever, and somewhere along the line you fall into being bound and afflicted by various things in this world where you can't get free of. It's God's plan for you to be an overcomer, to be victorious, to lay aside every weight and sin that is easily ensnares you, to run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's the Jesus that we serve. He's not for your destruction. He's for your success. Amen. He's for you to live for him, to serve him, to walk with him today and tomorrow until he comes again. And I'm glad to tell you that he is coming again. One day the skies will unfold and this Jesus that we've served and sing about and pray to all these years, he will come, amen, powerfully through the air and the armies of heaven following him. Praise the Lord. The heavens will light up from one end to the other, from the east to the west. Everybody will know that Jesus is coming, amen, and know that he's here to take his church away. You want to be a part of that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. Amen. We can't blame failure on God, because God stands in the gap here as your high priest interceding for us. He's saying, Father in heaven, help this one, help that one. They're my children. They're covered with my righteousness. They're covered with my blood. They belong to me. Amen. And so praise the Lord. He's not planned failure for your faith, but success for your faith. Amen. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Amen.